And greetings once again. Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Anyhow. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Buongiorno. Half a day. Guten Tag. Sawade Karup. Salam. Shalom. Peace now. Go vegan. Peace now. Go vegan. Well, from the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Killitary Industrial Corporation in the bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, where it's April 15th, it's tax day. You've waited again to the deadline, right? And by the way, this year, to save time, instead of making your check payable to the IRS, please make it payable directly to Halliburton Corporation. So Halliburton Corporation, 911 Dick Cheney Boulevard, Dubai, 91191. Okay, got that for tax day this year. And this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first and only vegan program in the mainstream media. And I guess if I want to stay in the mainstream media and not be forced to take a 2-week vacation in Maui or somewhere, or now it seems like it's a permanent vacation from MSNBC for Amazon, I guess that I should apologize for some of the insensitive words that I have used in the past on this radio program. I know that some are already calling for my 2-week vacation, a suspension, and you know that there shouldn't be a double standard between Imus and myself. And while I've used the word hose in the past on this very program, and you probably know the reason, and you probably know the reason why.
I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
But I pledge to you now, no more. That word is banned. I will not use the word hose on this show anymore. From now on, it is going to be garden watering device, okay? So nobody will be offended again in the future. Again, I apologize if I have offended anyone for use of the word hose in the past. My intentions were just that people would enjoy fruits and vegetables from their garden and get their recommended 9 servings per day. But I realize now it was just cheap comedic shtick, and I promise not to make fun, you know, of any garden tools anymore. I guess I'll leave that to the rake and the tiller and the weed whacker. I can never really feel their pain, so I shouldn't be the one joking about it. I know I'm coming from me. It's garden toolism, and but no more. That's my pledge now, because I know those isms are they're usually pretty bad, huh? I mean, gotta watch out for them. Racism, sexism, McCarthyism, compassionate conservatism, totalitarianism, militarism. Usually have to watch out for those isms, except for veganism. That's a good one, huh? But now. We have Imus. I'm a hot seat because of his insensitivity to isms, and he has that forced 2-week vacation from CBS, at least at the time that we're recording this program on the Thursday before the Sunday that it airs. So, but MSNBC says it's a permanent vacation now, and you know, it's just that, you know, it's really. It's really actually a sad commentary on the state of today's media, there aren't other people out there who can do a radio show. There's only one guy who can do a show for two networks at once at the same time, NBC and CBS. They can only find one guy. I mean, it's really, it really is the ABC, NNBC, BS, Fox censorship channel as I see it now. I mean, it's... Is this the best host, the best material that two of the biggest media giants in the world can produce combined? The combined resources of NBC and CBS, and it's some guy, you know, with an ism problem. And what those isms tend to do, huh? What they do generally is denigrate someone, demonize someone, and then that someone becomes a something. And, you know, suddenly with the Imus thing, we looked at the Rutgers basketball team then as individuals. Lou Dobbs was on saying, wow, what amazing individuals they were. But the isms, you know, they kind of put everybody together, and you don't look at the individualism. So Lou Dobbs saying, what amazing individuals they were. Valedictorian, future doctors, writers. You know, now, I know that Ed Schultz suggested that Ima should take a two-week fishing trip. But there's really no reason for Imus to go on a killing rampage like that. I know he's upset, but I'm going to demand that Imus and, you know, all those other Reich-wing hate talkers, I'd like them to promise to abandon another important ism, and that is speciesism in their language. That, you know, that they now stop being offensive to all life, that they nurture an environment of respect and tolerance for all beings. You know, what happened? You have the Iraqis demonized, the Vietnamese demonized, and, you know, so that makes them subhuman, right? Oh, you can bomb them then. But, you know, subhuman is a label already stamped in the mind of most people toward animals already. You know, does it constantly have to be reinforced by societal proponents of speciesism? Animals aren't subhuman. Well, they're different from humans, but, you know, they're also animals, and humans are animals, so we also share many similarities. All of us animals have brains, a face, a mother, a bowel movement. So why the condescending, disrespectful speciesism? On the Imus show, there have been references to Hillary Clinton as a bitch by producer Bernard McGurk. That's a speciesist, isn't it? Imus called Colin Powell a weasel. He called Obama a flip-flopping weasel. And Sid Rosenberg was actually invited back on the Imus show after being fired for calling Palestinians stinking animals. All of this speciesist talk is just so demeaning to all life. You know, I mean, that I think it makes it easier to take a life then. After all, if they're only animals, you know, so you can subjugate the flavor of the weak race to being animals, right? So bomb away. They're only animals. And of course, because the animals are only animals, they can be subjected at any time, subjugated, and we don't even have to think of them as individuals. But each one is an individual with intelligence and feelings and emotions, and each with a capacity to suffer pain, to bleed, to cry. But that's okay. They're only animals. Hey, we're animals too. But they're only animals, so we can eat them, we can wear them, we can experiment on them. And, you know, I'm not insulted when somebody calls me an animal. Actually, I feel complimented. If you want to insult me, call me, you know, a Republican or a politician or a Bush lover or a Cheney supporter. Yeah, that would really insult me. You Republican, you politician, you. Or the variations, you know, Repub all con, Repub liar con. Those would hurt me. You know, but call me a pig or a dog or a cow or a monkey. You know, bring it on. Oh, you animal, you. Hey, thanks for the compliment, you know. Thanks for including me as part of the most beautiful of creation, of the highest intelligent, the most magnificent of beings, the most loving of beings, you know. I don't see animals creating, you know, war over lies, killing their own en masse, you know, destroying the environment to self-extinction. Actually, I admire their intelligence, their ability to adapt to the environment. You know, I can't fly. No matter how much I keep flapping my arms, I can't fly, you know. And I doubt that I'll never be as good a parent or dedicated a parent as a penguin is, you know. Did you see that? You know, the penguin movie recently. March of the Penguins. That was amazing. They seem more like humans than humans. We should aspire to that. So, you know, penguins, you know, a number of animals mate for life, huh? How many Hollywood celebrities can say that? And how often do you see animals as true heroes? You do see that often. Dogs and cats and dolphins and primates saving human lives. It happens all the time. But look what they get in return. Not even the respect for their place in creation. Yet without the animals, we would perish. I mean, just think, you know, without their role in pollination of the food that grows on this good earth, we perish. So, you know, we're dependent on the little bees buzzing around, huh? So a little respect, please. I mean, again, if you absolutely must insult somebody, please, could you, and all the talk show hosts, please make a conscious effort to avoid animal references. I mean, please try to use, you know, you Republican you, or variations, as I said, you Repub liar con you, or you Repub ball con you. Practice calling your hated enemies Bush supporter or Cheney lover. You know, it'll feel much better for you than saying something like, oh, you rat, or you whale, you cockroach, you know. Remember, after our suicidal diet of environmental destruction and meat-eating, the cockroach will inherit the planet and be in charge. So now maybe is a good time to try to win her favor. Huh? A few breadcrumbs may go a lot further right now than that can of Raid. So what can I tell you? Look, the whole uproar lately is about a lack of respect shown in our daily lives and highlighted in the IMUS controversy. Respect for others, respect for those who are different from us, respect for individuals. And as IMUS has learned, language is important. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, let's kill two birds with one stone. That's speciesist language. Innocent enough, you know, an innocent enough seeming expression, but, you know, why would we want to kill any birds with any stones at all, you know? Can we instead pull two carrots with one tug? And, you know, the expression, well, there's more than one way to skin a cat, huh? Well, who even needs one way to skin a cat? Who would want, oh, yeah, Chinese fur, I forgot about that. And, okay, well, the gentleman from Evolution Pet Food, he was saying, Eric Weissman was telling me that he believed that foreign substance added to the wheat gluten is actually a protein from dogs and cats. So it's pretty bizarre. What can I tell you? Anyway, I don't know if you saw on the news, by the way, it was Menu Foods CFO sold shares before pet food recall. The chief financial officer of Menu Foods Income Fund sold nearly half his units in the pet food maker less than 3 weeks before it announced the massive product recall, according to insider trading reports that show that Mark Wien sold 14,000 units for Canadian dollars, or 89,000 American, on February 26th and 27th. And now, you know, that Canadian stock, well, it's down to $4.46. And those units that he sold for 102,000 Canadian would now be worth 62,000. So anyway, I know people could be upset with him. And but avoid your inclination to speciesist language. Do not call him something like, you know, a dirty rat. We're moving away from that. I mean, you know, poor rats have it so bad anyway that, you know, we accept that there's actually something called rat poison, huh? You know, we'd never accept something called politician poison or Republican poison or dog poison, huh? Why do we accept that there's rat poison? And why should rats suffer polling numbers as low as George W. Bush, huh? Why? Who is more destructive to humans or the environment? Rats or Bush, huh? So it's all in our conditioning that Bush would be treated with respect and rats wouldn't, huh? You know, a rat isn't someone, right? A rat is just a thing, right? Well, maybe you should talk to someone who's had rats as pets, you know, how intelligent and loving they are. And anyway, aren't rats just like humans? Why else would mad scientists experiment on them if they aren't just like humans? And if they are just like humans, then why would we experiment on them? Why would we have that right to torture them that way? But I recommend you read Kim Sheridan's book, Animals in the Afterlife, and you'll see a rich, loving, caring relationship between a young woman and a rat. And you'll probably come away thinking that a rat isn't something, but someone. So maybe we could also stop referring to animals as it. You know, an animal is not an it. An animal is a he or a she. So, you know, maybe now is the time when we're sensitive that maybe we can elevate our language, elevate our reverence for life, which, of course, I know flies in the face of our traditionally violent political system and our social structure of cultural speciesism. But, you know, will there come a day when a politician will be able to run for office without pandering to the speciesists? I mean, look at what the pathetic Repub liar con Mitt Romney, presidential candidate, has to do to show his lack of reverence for life to win voter approval. He has to pretend that he's been and still is a hunter. So, you know, I saw this on the Huffington Post. Let me bring the light over here. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney is taking a second shot at describing his hunting experience. The former Massachusetts governor has called himself a lifelong hunter, yet his campaign acknowledged that he has been on just two hunting trips, one when he was 15 and the other just last year. Campaigning in Indianapolis on Thursday, Romney said he has hunted small game since his youth. "I'm not a big game hunter. I've made that very clear," he said, quote, I'm quoting him. "I've always been a rodent and rabbit hunter, small varmints, if you will." That "if you will" bothers me. Cheney says it all the time. "I began when I was 15 or so, and I've hunted those kinds of varmints since then, more than two times." I guess he's being accused of hunting and killing only twice. In Keene, New Hampshire on Tuesday, Romney had said, quote, "I purchased the gun when I was a young man. I've been a hunter pretty much all my life." The next day, the campaign said Romney hunted rabbits in Idaho with cousins as a teenager and shot quail with GOP donors at a game preserve in Georgia in 2006. I'd be embarrassed by this, but I guess this is what gets you votes, huh? Campaign spokesman Eric Fernstrom said Wednesday that Romney wasn't trying to mislead anyone, and he promoted Romney's support of gun ownership rights. Romney has also supported gun control. When he ran unsuccessfully for the Senate in 1994, he backed the Brady Law and a ban on assault-style rifles. As governor, he supported the state's strict gun control laws and signed into law one of the nation's tougher assault weapon laws. However, he joined the National Rifle Association last August as a lifetime member. Okay, so that's amazing, huh? Isn't it what you have to go through to pander to get votes? And he's using the word varmint, huh? There's a speciesist alibi for really bad behavior. You know, say what you will about Imus's bad behavior, but here's Romney with bad actions too, and you know, he has to call them varmints. There he is, another recreational killer running for office. But Romney wants it both ways, so he cleverly uses political speciesism. Hunters can now vote for him because he's one of them, and those upset by hunting, well, Mitt is only hunting varmints, right? They're only varmints, so who could be against that? So I don't know. Are you tired of the Easter bunny that you got for Easter? Is she eating too much, pooping too much? Well, just set her free in your backyard and invite Mitt Romney over. He's the varmint hunter. Mitt Romney, varmint hunter, over to your house for a day of recreational killing fun. And if you have some of those glue mouse traps lying around in the closet or the garage, well, that's considered a canned hunt for your future president, Mitt Romney, varmint hunter. I don't know. What can I tell you? What is a varmint anyway? Webster defines it as an animal considered a pest, specifically one classed as vermin and unprotected by game law. Vermin, small, common, harmful, or objectionable animals as lice or fleas, difficult to control. And lice and fleas. Well, maybe that explains Dick Cheney shooting his hunting buddy in the face. He was varmint hunting also. Is Mitt Romney kissing up to win the good graces of Dick Cheney, varmint hunter? I mean, I guess his buddy's face was probably another caged hunt for him, huh? Oh, and also under varmint It talks, the definition is an offensive person. So there you have that too. And what can I tell you? A lot of strange people in the world, but there are a lot of good people too. And coming up on today's program in just a few minutes, we will be talking to a couple of the good people who have really been influencing the world in a good way. They're two of the most prominent people in the world of yoga. Sharon Gannon and David Life are coming up on today's program of Jiva Mukti Yoga, and they are known worldwide as could be the most famous yoga teachers in the world. They have been credited with bringing the popularity of yoga to the West, and we will have a good discussion with them coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, where I invite you to support this radio program with a tax-deductible donation. You know, free speech is expensive. We have to pay for the airtime. In this bribocracy, I have to bribe the radio stations to allow a message of compassion and improved human health and environmental sustainability to be on the airwaves. Free speech is expensive. I see the business manager outside the studio right now, looking at me, expecting a check. Let's see, is there a back door? No, I guess I'm going to have to write another check today. So please help. It's expensive to be on the radio stations, to be on the internet. You can make a donation online at goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanity Center. So your donation is tax deductible, as allowable by law. You can also make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego, California, 92164. I can't do this without you, and I can't do it without the sponsors of this program. We only accept sponsorship for products that are vegan and cruelty-free. So please support the advertisers on this program. Make a tax-deductible donation. And please, go vegan. This is Bob Linden. Okay, and we were so happy to welcome a new sponsor to the program. So happy that I want to say the sponsor's name three times fast, because it's like a tongue twister. But your tongue is rewarded by the sponsorships, by the sponsor's products. It's Mr. Crisper's Baked Rice Crisps. Mr. Crisper's Baked Rice Crisps. Mr. Crisper's Baked Rice Crisps. And that's Mr. Crisper with a K, and the Rice Crisps with a K. Go ahead, try to say that three times fast. Then eat your words, because Mr. Crisper's Baked Rice Crisps are really delicious and perfect for dips or topping or snacking right out of the bag. Invite Mr. Crisper's to lunch or your next party. Vegan varieties of Mr. Crisper's include sea salt and pepper, barbecue, and the new multi-seed. Made with organic brown rice from California, Mr. Crisper's Baked Rice Crisps. No wheat gluten, no cholesterol, no trans fats, but plenty of taste. Asian cultures have enjoyed the healthy benefits of rice snacks for thousands of years, and now you can enjoy Mr. Crisper's Baked Rice Crisps. Look for the vegan variety, sea salt and pepper, barbecue, and new multi-seed, available at your natural foods market, Sam's Club, and select grocery stores everywhere. Mr. Crisper's Baked Rice Crisps.
Giving the people animal burgers.
And why would they do that when they could be giving the people Sunshine Burgers? Yes, Sunshine Burgers since 1983. Sunshine Burgers is the burger for vegetarians. It's, if you haven't discovered it yet, please do. Very simple ingredients, but very delicious and nutritious. With protein-packed Sunshine Burgers, protein from the sunflower, energy from the sun. The simple, delicious ingredients like in the original, certified organic, ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, herbs, and sea salt. Totally delicious. Or try the organic, zesty Southwestern Sunshine Burger. Ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, black beans, bell peppers, cilantro, garlic, jalapeno, cumin seeds, onion, and sea salt. Magnifico. Look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen food section of your natural foods market, where you'll also find the barbecue Sunshine Burger with natural smoke flavor. No soy, no wheat, gluten-free Sunshine Burgers, protein from the sunflower kernel, also rich in fiber, potassium, iron, and vitamin E. The gourmet burger since 1983, oven-baked, pre-cooked, just eat and serve. If for any reason your natural foods market is out of Sunshine Burgers, demand that they order them immediately.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
That it does. And also, you know, there's a big craze on now for the omega fatty acids. Well, is your omega-3 a little fishy? Well, too bad if it is, because then you're actually depleting the oceans of marine life. And fish and fish oils often contain mercury and heavy metals, PCBs, and other toxins that accumulate in marine environments. But now you can benefit from the original vegan omega-3 DHA supplement. It's Omega Zen 3 from Nutru. Omega Zen 3 from Nutru. You know, DHA, it's a long-chain omega-3 fatty acid considered a critical nutrient, one of the main components of the brain required for functioning of all neural systems, including vision. In studies, low levels of DHA have been found in persons with heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer, Alzheimer's, depression, ADD, insomnia, stress, hyperactivity, dyslexia. But those conditions improve with DHA supplementation. And you can get your Omega Zen 3, the vegan choice, now at all Southern California Whole Foods markets. Definitely check it out. You can go to the website. It's Nutru.com, N-U-T-R-U.com, Nutru.com. Highly concentrated. You're going to be happy with this product, as all Nutru products, like Lyco 10-6, the new lycopene that has come from Nutru, vegan lycopene. You have Itokichi 2, vitamin E, and by the way, Omega Zen 3 now comes in liquid form. And you want to get it from Nutru, because Nutru is a vegan company. Products developed with your values in mind: ethical treatment of animals, utilization of sustainable plant sources, a vegan lifestyle, energy conservation, recycling, less dependence on petroleum, and save the fish. Save the fish with Omega Zen 3.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And we continue on the planet's first and only vegan program in mainstream media. And today we have, well, we're delighted to have and honored to have two of the leading yoga instructors in the world. They are really, they are known worldwide. They are credited with bringing the popularity of yoga to where it is right now in the West. Sharon Gannon and David Life, who have together created the Jiva Mukti Yoga Centers. And they are in Munich and London and Toronto and Detroit and the West Village of New York City. Sharon co-directs that center in New York City, and Jiva Mukti Yoga is recognized by Time Magazine as one of the 9 methods of Hatha Yoga taught in the world today, featured in the acclaimed video, What is Yoga? They have books to their credit. Jiva Mukti Yoga practices for liberating body and soul and the art of yoga, and are animal advocates. And if I go on with the resume on and on, there will not be enough time to talk to Sharon and David, whom I welcome now. Hi, Sharon. Hi, David.
Hi, Bob.
Hi there.
Hi. Great to have you today.
Thank you. You're amazing what you're doing on this radio show. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're amazing what you're doing in the real world.
No, you, Bob.
No, you. I insist. You are. So look at this, an argument breaking out among vegan pacifists. You know, it's like, well, that's
definitely. Just a virtual argument.
It's a virtual argument, yes. If people are listening on their computer now.
It's all theoretical. We're just playing roles.
I feel insulted, Bob, that you refer to me as a vegan pacifist.
Oh.
I am a vegan activist. Thank you very much.
There you go. Okay. Oh. Okay, so let's continue arguing here. What else can we argue about? So, yeah. Well, now, how did you come to this position with this interest in yoga and your yoga schools and to be featured as you are? I mean, and, you know, so many yoga videos and books and
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
yes.
No, I mean, it's so amazing. I mean, you're the yoga instructors for Sting and Russell Simmons and the celebrities. I mean, you are it. You're it. So how did you get interested in yoga to begin with and progress to be the teacher's teacher?
Well, I became a yoga teacher because it provided me with a platform to speak out for animal rights and
really? Wow.
And that's true because you see yoga, a yogi by nature is someone who is striving to live harmoniously with the planet and all others on this planet, and all the practices of yoga really address that. And of course, you know, not everybody can stand on their head every day, but most of us eat every day, so what we eat can certainly contribute to our harmony or disharmony in our body and mind and in the planet at large.
Mm-hmm. And some of us can eat standing on our heads. I don't know. Have you? I don't know.
you can eat. It's hard to swallow.
Yeah, I would imagine. look at the technical questions I have about yoga. Can you eat standing on your head? But I guess vegans are mainly concerned about eating. All we do is eat. We're grazers, right? We're vegetarian grazers. So it's the way it seems to be.
The other problem with standing on your head is that anything that you put into your stomach goes directly to your brain.
That could be good.
So you have to be very careful about what kinds of things you're putting in there.
I would say leafy greens then, if you're eating and standing on your head. That might be good. So
you want to create a green brain.
Yeah. So if you want the blood to flow to your brain, and you know, that's a problem that meat has, you know, meat and dairy really stop the flow of blood to the brain. So yeah.
You know, there's a great new great documentary film in the works that actually we're going to be interviewed for in a couple of days. Have you heard of this? It's Raw for 30 Days.
Oh, sure. Dr. Gabriel Cousins?
Yeah, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, a very good friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the alternative to Supersize Me.
Sure. He was on the program a few months ago, and we talked about how actually going raw for 30 days reverses diabetes. We know
and that's what the movie's about, you know. And they take, I think it's four or five people who have diabetes, who are taking insulin, who are like really not in good shape, who are not very happy people, and they take them down to the Tree of Life, Gabriel's place in Arizona, and they put them on a vegan raw diet for 30 days, and it changes their life, and they're actually cured of the diabetes. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's reversible, as so many diseases are.
Yeah,
you know, heart disease.
Because diseases are just that. They're when we're diseased. We're not at ease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yoga practice teaches us that whatever we want in life, we can have if we're willing to provide it for someone else. So if you're causing unhappiness to others, which is what you do when you eat them,
yes,
then you yourself are not going to be able to enjoy any happiness or ease of being in your own life. So it pays to do all you can to provide happiness to others if you yourself want to be happy.
Yes. What does Jiva Mukti mean, if I'm pronouncing it correctly?
You're pretty close.
Yeah.
Jiva is the individual soul, and Mukti means liberation. And Sharon has a great explanation of this idea of what this liberation that we attain to actually is. Sharon, maybe you want to explain that.
Mm-hmm. The oneness, okay, so the word,
you know, the old oneness of being thing.
Okay, so the word means living liberated, basically. It means the liberation of the individual soul. What the soul is liberated from is individualization, meaning feeling separate from the whole of creation. And that is really the goal of yoga. enlightenment is what is realized in the enlightened state is the oneness of being, the interconnectedness among, between all beings and things. And that is why the first step in this realization, the first step towards enlightenment, is if you're whenever you see others, when you're not seeing oneness or you're not seeing the divine, instead you're seeing others. So whenever that occurs in your life, do your best not to hurt them. It's called ahimsa or nonviolence.
Now there's a word I recognize.
And that's the first step in the yoga practice, the first step towards liberation, the first step towards enlightenment, the first step towards eternal and everlasting boundless joy and happiness.
Wow.
Sounds good, right?
Yes, absolutely right. So, and ahimsa is a basis for that, nonviolence, not doing
it's
harm,
the
not
first
killing.
Step. And ahimsa, you know, a lot of yoga teachers these days will translate ahimsa or nonviolence as pertaining to the individual. They'll say, well, you know, you don't really have to be a vegetarian or a vegan because that's too restrictive and that would actually be violent towards you. You need to eat meat to be strong and to do your yoga practice and to feel better about yourself. You shouldn't restrict yourself. Well, that's, of course, just a bunch of, I don't need to use that word here.
And we got the 7 second.
Back to your using an animal word to insult.
Yes.
We don't need to do that.
All
okay.
Right. And you may not want to use the words I've suggested yet. So, you know. So.
The alternative.
You might get in trouble for that. So
they're doing the best they can.
Yes.
But it
right.
just really doesn't come up to our expectations.
So, in the yoga philosophy, ahimsa pertains to our behavior towards others. And in the yoga scriptures, this is very clear. It's not about our behavior towards ourselves. There's a whole section about things that we do in relationship to ourselves, but it's not ahimsa. Ahimsa, according to the yogic scriptures, pertains to the violence that we might do towards another being.
Now, you are leading yoga instructors, but some of the only yoga instructors who advocate being vegan.
We're the only ones advocating being vegan now, because I don't want to think of that as a final thing.
Sure. That's right. I look at all meat eaters as meat eaters now. You know, they're pre-vegans.
Not vegan yet.
Right, pre-vegans. You know, you're either vegan or pre-vegan in my world.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I'm hopeful.
In order, you know, if we want anybody to change, then we have to visualize them as that that change we wish to see.
But people are coming to you. For lessons in spirituality and enlightenment, and but yet they will resist the dietary change. Or do you find that?
I think for the most part, people who make their way to a Jivamukti Yoga School are pretty open-minded people, and you know, people are. I like to think that people are intelligent and innately compassionate people. So when they hear what happens to the animals, or we also show films like Chew on This and Meet Your Meat and those types of films. So when people see what's actually happening, and when they see that, no one wants to contribute to that, and so they stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I. Well, I don't know if you looked at my website, but I wrote an article. No, I don't know why I have an article that ran in Yogi Times, other than I read an issue once that had an article in it called Conscious Carnivores, and it seemed to rationalize the eating of meat.
Wasn't it called Caring Carnivores?
I thought it was Conscious Carnivores. Oh. it's on my website there. It's at goveganradio.com.
Right. It was in another leading yoga-type magazine, which we won't mention.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm well aware of the article.
Uh-huh. And then I responded with an article called A Plate of Ahimsa, Please, just because it just seems so irrational to me, rationalizing the eating of meat and asking the animal for permission and being, come on, please. Yeah. So, but okay, maybe that writer now is vegan for all I know and has come to, become really enlightened. I don't know. So, now you also, Sharon, you wrote a book called Cats and Dogs Are People Too. And also you have the Animal Mukti Free Spay and Neuter Clinic in New York City. You're definitely animal rights activists. You're involved with PETA, and
we did a big billboard in Times Square a couple of Christmases ago with PETA, where there was it was a big video. It was like on the when they dropped the ball on New Year's Eve. It was right behind there, and we said, take the first big step towards world peace, and we had the image of a person, it happened to be me, doing a yoga pose, it's called Urdhva Dhanurasana, if any of your listeners know Sanskrit, which is the wheel where one leg kind of extends up towards the sky. So the message read, take the first big step towards world peace, and then across the screen, go vegetarian.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We do. We're very active, and we work a lot with our friends at PETA and the Farm Sanctuary, and
established
Animal Mukti Clinic, which we began, and which has reduced the number of euthanized dogs and cats in the city of New York by 40%.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, my hometown.
The pet food companies aren't happy about that, but...
Well, I don't know. The pet food companies shouldn't be happy about anything right at the moment. I think they have very serious problems. And you did a lot of research into pet food, too, for cats and dogs or people, too?
Yes, I did. And one of the main ingredients in commercial pet food is other cats and dogs.
Mm.
And that's a fact, and it's perfectly legal, and it's a across-the-board practice, and personally, I don't like that.
Right. It's.
David and I are very positive types of people. We're yogis, and so we don't really get behind too much of finger-pointing of others. Instead, we say, well, what could we do differently? And so that's why I wrote the book, to give people alternatives, and our biggest message is if you have a cat or a dog that you live with, treat them like a family member. Give them food that is fit for human consumption.
Sure.
Not something that on the label says cat food or dog food. Even the so-called expensive or better brands, they're still processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
They're still not, fit for human consumption. So we advocate cooking for your cat or your dog.
Ah.
Or hiring a cook.
Sure.
Either way.
Yeah.
Yes, our cats, I'm standing in the kitchen talking on the phone, and there's a big plate of shredded carrots that our cat Mitten is chowing down on.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Especially cats. I know dogs seem to be happy to eat anything. Generally speaking, I find dogs enjoy people food, and cats need a little coaxing, maybe a little veggie on top or something. So.
I don't know. Cats are people too.
Cats are people too. Okay, yeah. That's what was I thinking?
I think if we kind of project that negative idea upon cats or upon anybody, then they're more likely to then fill our image, our projection.
Right. So cats eat, as I was saying, cats eat everything people eat, so they love everything people eat, just what I was saying, right? So, and they get right on it, no problem. But, wow, dogs, I do a lot of dog sitting, and, I cook up big meals, and they seem to love it. They're very happy with it. And my dog ate whatever I ate also, because, what comes from the pet food companies is generally what's scraped off the floor there, and the dead,
with
the dying, the disease.
Tumors that are cut out.
Yeah, cancerous tumors, right? So
it's basically all the stuff that can't be sold for human consumption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing.
I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Right.
Us normal people can kind of put two and two together, I would think.
That's right. You don't have to stand on your head to come to that conclusion,
no.
Right? Enough blood should flow to the brain for that. So, yeah. Well, we have another 3 or 4 minutes. If I haven't gotten to anything that you wanted to discuss here now, have just.
Well, David really is wanting to say something.
And David, you may.
I may say something. Well, I think that I'm not so worried anymore about people being convinced that a vegan diet is the best thing for them, because we have these great ecological disasters coming out all over the world right in front of us that I think they're going to make the point for us.
Well, they are making the point.
Sooner,
right?
Rather than later.
They make the point with global warming, and everybody's
exactly.
concerned about global warming right now, but I don't see really the focus in the media that you can reduce carbon emissions more by going vegan than driving a hybrid. And,
that's right. But, you know, the United Nations issued a statement that said as much, and I think that gradually there's awareness of mm-hmm. the part that the animal industries play mm-hmm. in this whole scenario.
Right, and the methane is a critical gas in the equation, and that comes from cows. So, and that's just global warming. Why, a few years ago, the trendy environmental cause was deforestation. Well, got you there, too, or resource depletion, or pollution of water, or air. It's all tied in with meat and dairy. To me, the root of everything that's wrong on the planet is comes from eating meat and dairy.
We agree with you.
We do.
We recently visited Taiwan, and they didn't import American beef 6 years ago, but they wanted to buy a missile from America. And so part of the deal was they could have the missile if they would start importing the beef and allow McDonald's in. And it's really interesting, the direct link between the kind of consciousness that runs the war machine and the kind of consciousness that runs the animal industries machine.
They are one and the same, and the meat, I've had it on the show before. I mean, the direct connection between meat and personal violence and belligerence, it's all there. There have been studies at prisons where there's been a vegan population and a meat-eating population, and the vegan population has 90% fewer behavioral violations than the meat-eating population. So, I mean,
yeah.
it's all in evidence right there. If we're all upset with the war and, the beheadings are so awful, and yet every time someone eats a piece of meat, there's a beheading on the plate. Somebody had to be beheaded, you know, so
right.
it's really crazy.
The war against Mother Nature.
Yeah.
It's been going on since, thousands of years.
Yeah.
The biggest war that's most casualties.
Yeah. So how can people get in touch with you, or perhaps they're interested in studying yoga in New York, and my friend Philip Steer, who's a big fan of yours, wants to take the teaching class. So how might people get in touch
with
you?
Well, we have our teacher training is coming up at the Omega Institute in upstate New York. It starts next week. You can go to the Omega website to find out about that, www.omega.org, or our website is www.jivamuktiyoga.com.
And we spell Jiva Mukti.
I'm going to spell that right now. JIVAMUKTIYOGA.com.
Excellent. Okay. Well, it was great having you on the program today. I really appreciate what you're doing in the world and in raising consciousness and being a strong voice for veganism in the yoga world, and we couldn't have better representatives there.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. It was a pleasure. Thank
Let's
you.
Keep going. Together, yes. we can do it.
Okay, we will. Together. Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. So that was Sharon Gannon and David Life, Jiva Mukti Yoga. Into Spot Break 2, Leo. And I want to tell you about Veginase. If you want to go vegan, there is a mayonnaise that beat Hellman's, that beat Best Foods in the taste test. It's Veginase, available now in organic. at your natural food store and grocery stores everywhere. Also from Follow Your Heart, you have vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt. And stop giving your family the bird. Give your family chicken-free chicken from Follow Your Heart.
Eating meat. How 20th century.
Right, yes. How barbaric. You don't have to eat meat if you go to Truly. It's a vegan restaurant in Hollywood. Excellent restaurant at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard, just off the 101 freeway. The phone number, 323-466-7958. 323-466-7958. And try the new, the vegan shabu shabu. You cook a delicious soup at your own table. They bring a stove over. You'll amaze yourself at what a great vegan chef you are. And the sushi is magnificent, as is all the food at Truly. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, soup, salads, wraps, burgers, curries, veggie meat entrees. Yes, and, Truly will deliver also and cater. Again, the number, 323-466-7958. It's Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard.
Don't want bird flu? Maybe you shouldn't eat birds. A chicken is a bird.
Yes, indeed.
Why does Canada...
Whoops. Okay, and also I want to point out that the whole world is talking about Himalayan goji juice, and you can find out about it yourself. Go to the website, govegan.freelife.com, govegan.freelife.com. Dr. Earl Mindell says it's his most amazing discovery in 40 years of studying nutrition. It's the amazing Asian super juice. It's been around for centuries. Goji means happy and fights depression. And it's good for your heart. And it's just, you can find out all about it. There's documentation related to treatment of cancer. So go to govegan.freelife.com. You can also call Verona. She's a nurse. She'll talk to you about Himalayan goji juice. And let's see. I think there's an opportunity. Oh, Verona's number, by the way, is 310-707-3720. 310-707-3720. And Thursday, April 19th at 7 p.m. At the Hyatt Vineyard Creek in Santa Rosa, you can learn about the goji business opportunity. Just stop by, say hi to Kathy Caldwell. That's Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. in Santa Rosa at the Hyatt Vineyard Creek. I may be there. If I'm not there, tell Kathy that I sent you, and you can find out all you need to know about Himalayan goji juice. And this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And just to make sure that I get everything in that I have to, meaning the paid advertising, which of course is most important. Good to run the spots for advertisers, huh? And I want to invite you to attend Animal Rights 2007 coming to L.A. At the Westin LAX Hotel, July 19th through the 23rd. You will want to be there, not just because I'm speaking, but because there are 80 speakers from all sectors of animal protection and animal rights. An important discussion of the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. Need to be there. And it's the world's largest and oldest animal rights conference, 100 sessions and AR Hall of Fame, and free exhibits open to the public, great vegan meals. You definitely want to attend. And you can do so with a $20 discount if you mention Go Vegan with Bob Linden. So definitely do that. Go to farmusa.org, farmusa.org, or call 888-FARM-USA, 888-FARM-USA for the Animal Rights Conference, AR 2007, July 19th through the 23rd at the Westin LAX Hotel. See you there. Okay, you know, I've been approached by a number of animal rights activists in the Los Angeles area who are very upset with the city of Santa Monica. They've been protesting there, and they feel that their rights are being violated. And last week there was another protest with a lot going on, and we have Dave Rutan. Dave Rutan is on the line. He's an attorney in the Los Angeles area who often serves as an observer for, as a legal observer for demonstrations. Dave, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Bob?
Terrific. Great to have you on the show today. And you were a legal observer in Santa Monica last week. I'm getting complaints from animal activists saying their rights are being violated. What happened in Santa Monica last week?
Well, Bob, we had about 11 or to 13 protesters or so, but we had almost every imaginable police presence. We had undercover police in unmarked cars following activists. We had police helicopters. We had police on motorcycles, police in riot gear, police with video cameras, police with noise meters, and, of course, the police paddy wagon. A total of about 50 police officers on Easter Sunday. And basically, it
getting paid overtime, I guess. If it's Easter Sunday, were they getting holiday pay or something? Or?
Yeah, we were guessing maybe double time.
Oh, okay.
But they were there for quite a while because we did two protests outside of Santa Monica before we even got to Santa Monica. And there was, as typical, almost no police response to those. You know, because why should there be? There's no laws being broken. These are just people who want to go around, leaflet, get the word out, get the message out about compassion for animals.
Right. I believe they were protesting vivisection.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Those sorts of things. And then we went to Santa Monica as the third protest, and everything changed. All of a sudden, you know, we're treated like public enemy number one. We were met with 15 Santa Monica policemen on motorcycles who were waiting on Olympic Boulevard. So before we even got into the city, these motorcycle cops peeled out and started following the vehicles. They went alongside the vehicles looking inside to see if there had been any seatbelt violations. And basically, by the time we got into Santa Monica, within 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes after all the cars made into Santa Monica, every car that had an activist in it was pulled over for something. We had one car for, they need a little bit more air in one of their tires. So let's pull them over. Another car for a brake light, which supposedly didn't work. So and when they pulled them over, then everyone in the car was told to give them their identification. They were basically harassed. One car full of protesters then proceeded by the house and saw these riot police out there standing with their clubs in their hands and decided they didn't even want to go to the protest.
Right.
Well, luckily, we did actually have a protest that day, and I have to commend the activists who showed up because that shows a lot of courage on their part to keep on coming back to the city, which has shown such a violation of the activists' First Amendment rights. And as typical, you know, the activists went around, just did a legal protest. It was a silent protest in this case to show solidarity with the animals who were silently being tortured in the cages, vivisector's cages.
Mm-hmm. And I should note at this point, too, I just want to point out that with World Week for Animals in Laboratories coming up in the last week in April, people should not be intimidated. Well, we're not going to protest in Santa Monica. We'll be at UCLA at Monday, April 23rd at UCLA, noon to 2 p.m. Meet at noon at Westwood Boulevard in La Conte. And I might put in a word for the San Francisco demonstration, which is Tuesday, April 24th. Actually, I think I will be in San Francisco. I will be at that one, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that will be at the UCSF Parnassus Campus, 513 Parnassus Avenue in San Francisco. We are there because the animals are being tortured and these protests are happening. And are the police activities illegal? Are there these intimidation tactics? Will it come to a lawsuit?
Yes, Bob, I believe that this is a pretty good infringement, pretty good case of infringement of the First Amendment rights of the protesters.
Wasn't Kobe Siegenthaler in her 80s? Wasn't she cited that day? She was arrested.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she was one of the terrible people who the city of Santa Monica just treats as basically a terrorist. You think, yeah. What's going on here? And who are you treating as a terrorist? An 80-year-old woman.
An 80-year-old woman who comes out to talk about kindness to animals, and
that's right.
and she's intimidated by the Santa Monica police. That's awful.
That's right.
So what should we do? What should we do?
Well, unfortunately, I think we should not let the police's actions deter us. I mean, as far as I look at it, there's just more plaintiffs every single week that this goes on.
Mm-hmm.
More plaintiffs of the case, a bigger settlement, that sort of thing. So I think that, you know, we, just like every activist group has throughout history, when faced with pushback and that kind of stuff, you fight harder.
Fight harder, come out and demonstrate. Dave Rutan, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Please make a donation to support this show at goveganradio.com or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. Thanks for listening. Please, go vegan. Stop eating animals. Stop wearing animals. Be kind to animals.